Good evening and welcome to the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church in New York City, committed to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in an atmosphere of love. We seek to glorify God by leading people to salvation in Christ and encouraging believers toward spiritual growth by relating the Bible to their daily lives. Please stay with us for the next 60 minutes as Pastor Matthew Recker opens the Word of God so you could be encouraged to follow in the heritage of faith.
And we welcome you tonight to the Heritage of Faith. Let me encourage you with God's Word. We're going to be looking into John chapter 11 tonight, how Jesus is Lord of life and death. And we can be assured that whatever we face in life, whatever we face in death, Jesus is Lord. He is the resurrection. He is the life. And let me ask you just two questions tonight to challenge your thinking and also to encourage you to give us a call that we could pray with you and help you in your spiritual walk. Or maybe if you would like to add to the discussion, feel free to give me a call and come on the air with me. But let me ask you this. Why does Jesus delay helping us? Why does he delay answering our prayers? He delayed helping Lazarus. He waited until Lazarus was dead. Why does Jesus delay? Second question is, have you ever been exceedingly disappointed in what God has allowed in your life? Exceeding, not a little, exceeding disappointed. When Jesus got to Martha and Mary, they were saying, Jesus, why didn't you get here sooner? They were exceedingly disappointed. Their brother was dead. They saw no hope for him. But there's hope. So we want to look at these practical questions and issues and pray with you as well about the delays of Jesus, the disappointments seemingly that he allows tonight. And the phone number is 1-800-345-9622. If we can encourage you or pray with you about delays and disappointments that you're having in your life, know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, Lord of life and death. The number again is 1-800-345-9622. But before we get into the message now, I want to introduce our special guest in the studio tonight, missionary Clay Gibbons. He and his wife, Danielle, their three precious children, were in our service today. He preached a wonderful message on challenging us to the supreme motivation for serving Jesus Christ, and that is the gospel and the love of Christ constraining us. Thank you for that message this morning, Brother Clay.
Yes, sir. It's my privilege.
And it's great to have you here with us tonight in the studio and in our city with our family. You've been getting around the city a little bit too, right?
Oh, yeah. Been able to see quite a bit.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I praise God for your heart to serve the Lord and to go to England. And, of course, that is in a lot of people's thoughts and prayers and mind these days because of things that have been going on there with the exit of England from the European Union and so forth. What a great need is in that country spiritually. But just wanted to ask you just a couple things just about God's working and leading in your life, Clay. And really, how did you discern God's will in going to England? What was the way that you discerned? Because I'm sure listeners are out there trying to figure out God's will for their life. That's always a big question. How did you discern God's will in going to England for your life to bring your family across the pond like that?
Well, missions had not always been on our heart when I was finishing up my seminary degree.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at several different opportunities, and the Lord shut the door on all of those, and we began to pray.
Can I ask what one of them was, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, sure. I looked at a couple youth pastorates or assistant pastorates in North Carolina, where I am from, and the Lord shut the door on those where mm-hmm. I had applied, and other people were chosen for the position, and it was not me, and that's okay.
Yeah,
I praise the Lord for his sovereignty in that.
Right.
And so we began to just ask the Lord what it is that he would have us to do. And what kind of came to the top of our hearts was a desire, an interest, and a desire in England. And this had come after many times of or many years of walking with Him. I believe that's really how He directs us into His will, is that we devote ourselves to doing what He has already told us to do, being faithful in our time in God's Word, being faithful in prayer, being faithful in church, and doing the things that we already know to be God's will. And what happens after that is what happens in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when in verse 2 it says, "And ye be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." I think when we devote ourselves to doing what God has already told us to be God's will for our life, being faithful to church, being faithful in our witness, being faithful in our prayer and Bible reading, what happens is He transforms our hearts. And all of a sudden, what He wants for our lives is what we desire as well. And that's really what came true for Danielle and I. As we were walking with Him and exploring what we wanted to do, we really wanted to go to England. So we took a trip back in 2012, and we got to visit some churches there and get to see what was going on in England, and it was really then that we knew that this is what we wanted to do. We got to see the spiritual need of England, how desperate it is, how secular it is, how quick Islam is growing there, and it became very clear to us that this is what the Lord wanted us to do, and this is what we wanted to do, and we are so excited about the opportunity to go and to work with and a British church there, and then, Lord willing, plant a church in the city of London in years to come.
Now, in England, they say there are a lot of just empty church buildings. They're just sitting there. Are they owned still by, the Baptist Union, or are they just owned?
Many of them are owned by the Church of England. The Church of England has suffered quite a bit in their loss of attendance, and so along with that goes their revenue. And so many of those churches are empty, and many of them have been sold because the Church of England can no longer afford to take care of them. Because many of them
Baptist
are hundreds
I have heard
old.
There's Baptist
sure.
churches empty,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, all churches are suffering over there in terms of attendance.
Yeah. Well, do you find will be the major challenges to ministry in England? What are you perceiving will be those major challenges?
Well, I think for an American over there, there will be some challenges to overcome, just the American stigma that we might carry, that we're going to have to get to know people and build a relationship with people to prove to them that we really care about them, and we're not just over there to do a tourist thing, or we're not over there for some ulterior motive, but we are truly there because we care about them, we love them, we want them to know Jesus.
What is the perception of the British toward Americans right now? Has it become more negative? I ask that because one of our families didn't go to Britain, went to France, but they had a really negative attitude towards Americans.
Yeah, I don't think it's really positive. I think the stereotype would be that we're loud and we're maybe not as educated as they are, maybe a little overweight, maybe all these things that, you know, Europeans may think that Americans are, and some of it may be true, but by and large, I don't think it's all of us that's true of, hopefully.
Yeah. And how have you found traveling around with your family? I'm sure that's a challenge, three small children, and have you gone out as far out west as California?
We've been out to California several times. We've been to Maine, to Florida, to Wisconsin, New York City.
So you've been from one end of the United States, east, west, north, south.
Yeah, we are just asking the Lord to partner us with other like-minded churches and believers to help us accomplish this work for Him.
Mm-hmm. How have you found the state of the American church?
It varies based on where we're at geographically. I think some of the most dynamic churches that we've been in have been in cities, the ones that are growing, the ones that are excited about worshiping the Lord and about serving Him, about reaching out in the community. Those have been in cities or out in California. I think the church is really doing well where the culture is kind of counter-Christian. And it seems to be doing better in those places. In places, maybe in some places in the South, and I don't think it's prospering as well, that the Christian culture there works against the true faith that should be found there.
Yeah, people can take more for granted what they've always heard.
Yeah.
Well, brother, praise God. We really appreciated your ministry these last few days. Thank you for joining us for these moments as we begin our Heritage of Faith program tonight. And I want the listeners to know that Brother Clay Gibbons, missionary to England, is going to be here to take your phone calls. So if you have questions about ministry, if you have questions about discerning God's will, maybe you have questions about England that you just want to ask a missionary, a young man who has studied, prepared for the ministry, and is now traveling around, raising up support. And you have, what, about 82%. So he's going to be in England, Lord willing, by the end of the year or somewhere around there. And well, God bless you, Brother Clay. Pastor Carmine is also here. And Pastor Carmine is here to take your calls along with missionary Clay Gibbons. So you get to us this evening on the Heritage of Faith as we look into God's Word in just a moment now. John chapter 11. The phone number is 1-800-345-9622. And we want you to please pray for Heritage Baptist Church as today, because of the Gay Pride Parade that finished right in the Greenwich Village area, for example, we were not even able to meet in the school where we normally rent space in on Sunday. We will be back to 490 Hudson Street next week, so we invite you on out. 10 a.m. our Bible study, 11 a.m. our morning service. That's for the July 3rd service. And we're going to have a hot dog and pizza fellowship after the service next Sunday. So come on out for the Word of God and for a picnic lunch after church put on by our food ministry team. They do an amazing job. So we invite you out next Sunday. 10 a.m. is our Bible study hour. 11 a.m. is the morning service. Then after that, we'll have our picnic lunch, hot dogs and pizza. So come on, visit with us, 490 Hudson Street. Go to our website at hbcnyc.org, and we'd love to have you visit with us. And again, we were just reminded really why we do need our own church building, because we had to couldn't meet at the PS3. We met over in at the office space this morning, and it's just difficult as well for some of our people to get out with the trains going crazy and the parking and so many different issues right in this city. But praise God, here we are. We're glad to be here with you. Now tonight, let's look in John chapter 11. In the Gospel of John, John records seven miracles, seven signs. And these signs accomplished by Jesus Christ, miracles, spotlight his deity. They spotlight that he is the eternal Son of God. The first sign he did was at a wedding feast. The last sign in John's gospel he does is at a funeral wake, the funeral wake of Lazarus. The last of the seven signs, really, as many of them do, demonstrate the glory of God in fabulous ways. We see his deity, that he is God. We see his humanity fully expressed. We see his wisdom, his love, his power, his omniscience, that he knows everything, his omnipotence, he's all-powerful, his omnisapience, he's all-wise. The miracle of Jesus Christ raising Lazarus is a miracle of the amazing wisdom of God, that Jesus Christ knows exactly what he is doing, even in the most tragic moments of our lives. This miracle shows that he is Lord of life and even in death. In every situation, he is Lord. In every predicament, he is Lord. Wherever you are tonight, however old you are, maybe you're in a nursing home. Maybe you're in a hospice. Maybe you're in a prison. Maybe you're on your job. Maybe you're in your kitchen. Jesus is Lord of where you are. And we need to trust him morning, noon, and night. In every trial, in every tragedy, he is Lord of life and death. But sometimes we wonder why. Why does he allow delay? Why isn't he answering our prayers? Why did Jesus delay going to Lazarus? He heard he was sick, and he waited until he died. Why does he do that? And then when he got there, the sisters of Lazarus were not just disappointed, but exceeding disappointed that Jesus had not been there. And they even said that, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. You could have prevented this. And was that true? Could he have prevented it? And let me just ask prayer, and we're going to go to a phone call in just a moment. Doug, thank you for calling. We're going to take you in just a moment. But I want to ask prayer tonight for my brother-in-law, my dear and beautiful wife's brother, Scott. Scott has cancer, and according to the doctors, has just days to live, and is basically in a sort of a hospice-type care. At home still, thank God. But his faith is in Christ. He's assured of heaven through Jesus. Scott has served his community as fire chief, is loved in town, is loved by his family. Pray for his wife, Donna. Pray for his daughters, Kelly and Kristen. Brianne. Pray for his mom, his dad, still alive. Pray for his sister, that's my wife, Debbie. He has other siblings, other family members, but pray for Scott that God would just continue to give him grace, and I'll really appreciate that as well. Okay, the phone lines are open. If you have a need for us to pray about tonight, if you would like to talk to Missionary Clay Gibbons about God's will, or just have prayer tonight with Pastor Carmine over any burden or prayer need situation that you're in, you get to us now at 1-800-345-9622. And let me take a call here from Doug. Thank you for calling, Doug, and you're on the Heritage of Faith. Hopefully, you there? Doug, are you there? Oh. I wonder if something is wrong with these phones here tonight. Okay, I'm going to put Doug back on hold. See if Doug is on line one. See if Doug is still there on line one. So, praise God. God is good. He's even Lord over the telephone systems when things don't function as you had hoped that they would function. But he is Lord. Let's look tonight about three simple things from this John 11 story. Number one, in delay, Jesus is Lord. And he's all-knowing. He shows when he delays, he's all-knowing in his delay. Number two, in disappointment, he is Lord and he shows he's all-loving. And number three, even in death, he is Lord. He shows he is all-powerful. So in delay, he's all-knowing. In disappointment, he allows. He shows he's all-loving. And even when in times of death, he's all-powerful in delay. Notice, Jesus gets the message that Lazarus is sick, and what does he do? Nothing. He sits for two more days and waits for Lazarus to die. When Lazarus dies, then Jesus knows about it. No messenger had to tell him that Lazarus was dead. Jesus shows he's omniscient. What an amazing comment we find. An amazing word from Jesus in John chapter 11. It says in verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So Jesus announces Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And then notice the very next phrase of verse 15, and I am glad. Put it together. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So why is Jesus glad? I believe he's glad even in this delay because he knows what the result of the whole drama will be. And he knows that even in delay, he will be glorified. And notice what Jesus said even before all this happened. It says in verse 4, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And even when he was at the tomb and he asked Martha and others to take the stone away, Jesus said, did I not say unto you that you, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? When you believe, you see the glory of God. That is, Jesus knows that in his delay, by delaying going to Lazarus and even waiting for Lazarus to die, that he will be glorified. That is, this will be an opportunity for his glory, his character, his attributes to shine. And this miracle will put a spotlight on his personhood and on his power. This miracle will put a spotlight on his person and work. That he is the resurrection and the life. You see, this miracle shows the amazing character of our Savior. In his humanity, he weeps. In his deity, he raises the dead. This miracle shows his wisdom, his love, his patience, his power, his glory. So we wonder and we say, Lord, how long? Why are you delaying? I cannot bear it any longer. Why do I have to wait? God's waiting room is a difficult place to be. And what will we do while we wait? Will we worry? Will we whine? Will we wonder when? Or will we worship our Savior? That's what we can choose to do. You can worry if you choose, or you can whine and complain. You can wonder and just say, this isn't fair. Or you can worship and say, Jesus, you're Lord of life and death. You know everything, even in my delay. The Lord delays for all of us. We never get what we want just when we want it, do we? In delay, Jesus is glorified. But second thing about this, in delay, Jesus strengthens the faith of the disciples. Notice again when Jesus says, Lazarus is dead and I am glad. It was Charles Spurgeon who preached on that, and I read his sermon. That was the first one that I saw brought that out. I've always loved that. If Jesus could be glad even in death, it shows his power. But notice he says, and for your sakes, I'm glad. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why? To the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, the disciples are very negative about what's happening here. Thomas is like, well, let's go. We're going to die with him, you know. And they're saying, yeah, the last time you were there, Lord, they took up stones to cast at you. Not once, but twice. Remember John 8 and John 10, they picked up stones to throw at Jesus. So Thomas is like, okay, let's go, that we might die with you. But Jesus says, you're going to believe through this who I am. So Jesus is going to use a trial to Lazarus, who had to die, and Martha and Mary, in order to strengthen the faith of the disciples. So think about this. I'm saying this. Sometimes God allows things to us in order to teach someone else. Okay? Sometimes God allows trials in my life in order to teach faith in someone else's life. Am I all right with that? Am I all right that God would allow a trial in my life in order to build up your faith? Should I be okay with that? I think so. We all must surrender ourselves to the Lord so that he can use us even like that. Like he uses Lazarus even in death. He uses Martha and Mary in their disappointment and delays that they experience in their frustration. But sometimes the best way we can witness to others is through trials. Your friends may not listen to your witness. Your family may have nothing to do with the Savior that you love. But when you lose your job, or when you pass through an illness, when you face a trial, when you face a financial difficulty, they're watching you. And God will use that trial to get through to others and bring faith to the intent that they might believe. God allows trials in my life to the intent that others may believe. God knows everything. So what am I going to do in delay? Am I going to resent God? Am I going to resist, or am I going to rest in the goodness of the Lord? So I say, don't fret. Don't faint. Don't forget. Jesus is Lord of all, and He knows everything. So we're going to go to a beautiful song here. I love this precious song, that we need to have the faith of a little child. And our phone lines are open. If we can pray for you in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your delay, you get to us, that we can pray that God will give you the grace to rest and not resent God and not resist God, that He will give you the grace to not forget His goodness and not faint when He chastises, and not to fret, not to live and allow worry and whining and wondering, why me, to overcome, but God would give you a heart of worship, the heart of faith, the heart of a child. 1-800-345-9622. Get to us now. God bless you. Okay, I think we're good on the phones here. Is that Doug? Thank you for calling. You're on the Heritage of Faith.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling and holding on tonight.
All right, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, what's up?
I heard you ask a question. Why did Jesus make delays?
Yeah.
Okay, I have one example. I exposed and uncovered a human traffic ring and bribery. And in Luke 10:120, he says, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So what I did is I tried to tell the church, and I had some friends in the church, it exposed the human traffic ring, and the answer was in Mark 4:15, whatever I said in between myself and the hearing ear, Mark 4:15 says that when I sow the word or say the word, the devil comes behind me and changes that word and takes away the word that was sown. So my daughter wrote a website, and she says, Dad, I understand everything that you're going through. They change what you mean, and they alter your thought. So I have a Google. I exposed them, and I tape recorded these guys, everything they were saying.
People in the church you're talking about?
No, some corrupt parties that were taking bribes, and they were involved in a human trafficking ring.
And in the political realm?
Right, right. And I was approached by them. They sat down next to me. I tape recorded them, and they said, look, if you tell anybody what we're saying, we're going to fire you from your job. So I recorded that. I put it on YouTube. And one guy took it to the extreme, just like the guy down in North Charleston, Walter Scott, got shot and he tried to plant a taser on him. One of his friends, a Charleston official, sat next to me in Charleston, and I tape recorded him saying he's going to plant a gun and a knife on me if anybody found out. He says that I've been making up lies about you, and everybody believes it when I shout out lies. And in my website, Doug Sittel, if you go through Google, S-I-T-T-E-L.
Okay, you know what, Doug? We don't have a – this sounds like it's a pretty intense and long situation that you're involved in. And but, you know, I will say we are living in a world where the devil is the god of this world. And lies are his at the very heart of his system. He is the father of lies. And those who are his servants follow him as being liars and thieves and full of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So, and sometimes we have to go through these delays. So I appreciate you, brother. You keep standing for the Lord. But I wanted to give you some time to share that, but we're going to have to move on here because the program is a brief time, okay?
And like I said, if you Google Doug.
Okay. I don't really want to. I don't know what he's promoting there with his website, so I just put that off there. Okay, so delays. Well, 1-800-345-9622. We have in the studio a wonderful opportunity for you callers to get to us, to speak to missionary Clay Gibbons, a fine young man who knows the Word of God. He would love to be able to answer your questions, pray with you over special needs you may have. Of course, Pastor Carmine, who is a doctor of telephone on the Heritage of Faith program. He's been doing this so long, and he has a real heart as well for you, the people of God out there. And even if you're not saved, maybe you have a question about salvation. Maybe you have a question about the Bible. But you get to us. The phone lines are open, and we do have some lines open here at 1-800-345-9622. So, in delay, Jesus is all-knowing. Number two, in disappointment, Jesus is all-compassion. We see the heavy heartache and disappointment of Martha and Mary. Now, check it out. Although these sisters and Lazarus are the friends of Jesus, because they came to him and said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Okay, I'm not going to do anything right now. Knowing Jesus does not exempt us from painful trials in this life. Even when Jesus is your very best friend, you may experience very big disappointments. But he's Lord of all. He's Lord of life. And he shows his compassion. Now, people often say the smallest Bible verse in the English text, and it's true in the English language, is Jesus wept. Well, why did Jesus weep? Do you know? What do you think? Why do you think Jesus wept? You can answer if you want. You can give me a call. But when Jesus does arrive, what's the response of Martha and Mary? You should have done something different. Here's what you should have done. Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. In other words, Lord, you should have gotten here sooner. Have you ever felt that way? Lord, you should have done it this way. You should have done it the way I think you should have done it. And then she tells the Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Well, what does that do? That limits the power of Jesus Christ to being there. So
We have the tendency in our disappointment to tell the Lord what he should have done so what we wanted to happen could have happened. That's our human tendency. We think we know better. But we must never forget that God's love for you is never changing. And even when you are disappointed, his grace is always sufficient. So she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And Jesus speaks this mighty promise. When Martha then says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus is not saying in the last day he's going to rise again. Jesus is saying, right now, you can personalize this promise for who I am. You see, this promise that Jesus Christ gives, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That is not a promise for another day. That is a promise for now. Yes, Lord, help us to know right now. You are the resurrection. You are the life. It's a powerful promise. A bold declaration no mortal man can make. And it's a personal promise. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, that's for you. Now, here's a question. What's the difference between resurrection and life? There's two things Jesus is saying here. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What passion in that question. Do you believe this? Will you believe this? And thank God for Martha. She says, yes, Lord. Yay, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So I ask, what's the difference between resurrection and life? You know what the difference is? One is for Lazarus and one is for Martha and Mary. Resurrection power is needed by Lazarus. The life aspect is needed by Martha and Mary. The resurrection deals with the body. Lazarus, his body was dead in the grave. He needed the power of Jesus' resurrection. So I am the resurrection deals with how in Jesus the dead live again. He that believes in me, though he were physically dead, yet shall he live again physically. Faith in Jesus results in us being raised to life. Now how can this work for us in our disappointments? A loved one dies. Your loved one died. Your son died. Your daughter. Your wife. Your husband. Your mom or dad. A friend. Someone died. Someone's dying. But have comfort. Jesus is the resurrection. He will physically raise up your loved one from the dead in a glorified body one day. When we believe in Jesus Christ, believest thou this? Do not marvel. All that are in the grave will hear his voice. Those that have done good will come forth to the resurrection of life. Jesus is the resurrection. Resurrection deals with the body and answers specifically what happens to the material part of man. It goes to the oldest book of the Bible, Job. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That was Job. He knows his Redeemer is the resurrection, and he knows he will be raised to see him, even though his body would go back to the dust. It will be raised from the dust. I am the resurrection that deals with the body. This gives Martha and Mary hope in Lazarus coming back to life. And then I am the life. So I am the resurrection. Deals with those physically dead, that in Jesus the dead live again. I am the life.
in Jesus the living never die. This is for Martha and Mary. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, that's Lazarus, yet shall he live. Verse 26 is for Martha and Mary. Whosoever liveth. Why? Whosoever liveth, that is, are you alive? Yes, you're hearing my voice. You, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. You live, but do you believe? You live, but will you believe? Right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Instantaneous, miraculous, new birth. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. You must be born again. How? By faith in Christ. By faith in His person. By faith in His work. Believe on Him. As many as Jesus says, when we hear His voice and believe on Him that sent me, Jesus says, we pass from death unto life. That's amazing. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we are translated from darkness to light, from death to life. In me, Jesus says, the living never die. I am the life. So this is for us right now. We're never going to die. You say, well, of course we're going to die. Yes, we'll die physically, but we'll never truly die spiritually. The last breath we breathe in this earth will be our next breath in heaven. So maybe you're on death's door right now. Maybe your loved one is dying. Maybe your loved one is in hospice. I encourage you tonight, believe in Jesus, and you'll never really die. Oh, your body may die, but the real you never dies. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Believest thou this? Now a lot of people think all religions are the same. But that is not the truth. The resurrection of the body is not a part of all religious belief systems. In fact, it is only a belief of Christianity. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is a distinctive difference, and the distinctive difference in all other religions, that Jesus Christ, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the one who spoke the world into its very existence, from nothing came all things that we see through the very power of the Word of Jesus Christ. And this same Jesus holds everything together by His very power. He came to earth, incarnate as a man, and died the most heinous, shameful form of death imaginable on a cross. But on the third day, He bodily rose again. Now, a lot of religions teach this thing, reincarnation. You know, resurrection and reincarnation are opposites. Resurrection is you live once, and then you die, and you'll be raised. Either to eternal life or to eternal damnation. Reincarnation is you live and you die and you live again in some other form and you die and until you achieve some kind of, you know, and it's a terrible thing. Reincarnation is a terrible, terrible doctrine. And it's not true. And it's the very extreme opposite of resurrection. It says it is appointed unto man once to die. Reincarnation says you're appointed to die over and over and over and over. Don't think all religions are the same. That is not true. True Christianity is unique, different, miraculous from any other religion of the world. 1-800-345-9622. Are you saved? Believest thou this? Are you fearful? Are you fretting? Are you whining? Are you worrying? We'd love to hear from you tonight at 1-800-345-9622. If you even have a question for me, a comment, why did Jesus weep? I'll get to it in a moment. We'd love to encourage you tonight on this live radio broadcast in the heart of Broadway. We're down broadcasting live, by the way, on Broadway in Manhattan. Pray that God will use our program week by week. So what a mighty promise. So Jesus Christ, in their disappointment, gives a great promise. So in your disappointments, hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to the promise of who Jesus is. Hold on to this one great I Am promise, but hold on to all of them, by the way. John features, I mentioned earlier, seven signs, seven miraculous signs that Jesus does throughout the Gospel of John, but it also features the great I Am statements of Jesus. And all of these I Am statements relate to the promise of life in Christ. For example, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. That is, He is the I Am who satisfies. So claim the satisfaction we have in Christ. He says, I am the light of the world. That is, He is the I Am of life who gives fullness of life, light. He is the I Am who is the door. He gives true life. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We have true salvation, true life. He says, I am the good shepherd, John 10:10. In that context, He's the good shepherd who gives abundant life, leading His sheep, teaching them, speaking to them. He gives abundant life, true life, fullness of life, satisfying life. John 15:1. He says, I am the true vine. He is the one for fruitful life. And here I am the resurrection and the life. He gives real life. So thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for the life you give. And not only does He give a wonderful promise, but Jesus Christ comes alongside Martha and Mary and weeps in love. He's deeply agitated in the presence of death. Jesus is literally shaking with emotion. He's so moved, His body trembles with grief. In John chapter 11, it says, when Jesus saw, in verse 33, John 11:33, when He saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And I believe He groaned partly because of their unbelief, because it also says later in verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in Himself comes to the grave. Because they're questioning Him. They're saying, couldn't this man, you know, the Jewish people are kind of doubting Him. Why didn't You come over? You could open the eyes of the blind. Couldn't You cause that this man had not died? You know, they're given the whole, you should have done this, you could have done that to Jesus. He's groaning in His spirit and He's troubled at the response of the people. But He also is moved as a man. I believe that Jesus is deeply moved at the powers of evil, the power of death. Death is not a friend. He was moved at the grief of Martha and Mary. He sorrowed and He groaned for those who did not believe, and all of this together leads Him to weep. This shows His humanity. He weeps with those who weep. And the Jewish people even said, behold how He loved them. And so then, finally, we see Jesus Christ not only in delay, He shows He is Lord of life and death, and He shows He's all-knowing. That's good for us to know. He knows everything. And in disappointment, He's Lord. He's all-loving. He shows His love through His promises and through His weeping, His bearing our infirmities, weeping when we weep. But now He shows finally in death He is Lord and He is all-powerful. He is all-powerful, dear friends. Notice, as we come to the end of this story in John chapter 11, in verses 39 and following, in verses 39 and 40, Jesus speaks to the living. He says, take away the stone. And then in verse 41 and 42, He speaks to His Father. Now, Jesus doesn't ask the Father to raise Lazarus. Jesus is going to do it Himself. Jesus is praying that, basically, the people will know that who He is and who the Father is through this miracle. And then Jesus speaks to the dead. He speaks to Lazarus Himself. So Jesus speaks to the living. Take away the stone. And of course they object. But Lord, He stinks. He's been there 4 days, you know. Martha objects. Oh, we all so often want to object to the Word of God. We want to argue with our Savior. But Jesus says, don't you want to see My glory? Then just do what I say.
Do we want to see the glory of Jesus? Do what he says.
And he even wants to involve us in his work. Move the stone away. We can't raise Lazarus, but we can move the stone. What can you do to help your friend trapped into death? Move away the stone. Maybe your friend is trapped in sin. What can you do? You can't save them. Only Jesus can save them. But you can visit them. You can pray with them. You can be with them. You can love them. You can share God's word with them. You can move away the stone. There is something for us to do. We're not God to give life, but we're man to move away the stone. Jesus involves human effort here. And they're to obey. Take away the stone. Then Jesus talks to his Father in verse 41. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And then finally Jesus speaks to the dead. He speaks to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth! Notice what it says in fact in the language. Verse 43, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! People have often remarked he had to say Lazarus. If he just had come forth, all the dead people would have just started walking out of the grave. But he said Lazarus, only Lazarus came forth. Jesus speaks, yea, shouts with the voice that raises the dead. Oh, I speak the word of God tonight. I say to you, dead in your trespass and sins, come forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that are be alive from the dead through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died, he shed his blood, he rose again. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. If a dead man could obey Jesus Christ, can't you? Jesus does not give a command in which he does not give the power to, in which he does not supply the power to obey. Jesus does not give a command where he does not supply the power to obey. Lazarus came forth. There was obviously no power in him, but there was power in the word of Jesus Christ. And so the power of God's word gives life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. See, there's a picture here. Is there not? We're all dead in our trespass and sins. We're dead like Lazarus. But God's word is preached, and God's word has the power to raise the dead. And we took God's word into our heart. We believed, and we were just like Lazarus. Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. You know, when somebody first becomes saved, it's messy. They come forth with their grave clothes. And they need to be patiently and lovingly cared for. It says his face was bound about with a napkin. Can you imagine? He came out of the grave with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him, let him go, untie him. And so, dear friend, that's also something we can do after people are saved. We want to encourage them. We want to pray for them. We want to loose them. We want to teach them. If you're looking for a Bible-believing church and you've heard the word of God, and you've come forth. You say, I'm saved. Visit us at our website at hbcnyc.org. Go to our website. And then go to our Facebook page, by the way. We had a special guest in our service today. Popped in out of nowhere. Dr. Bob Jones III, President of Chancellor of Bob Jones University, and his dear wife, Dr. Charles Loving. Thanks for coming. God bless you all. Good night.
Thank you for tuning into the Heritage of Faith. We would be so honored to have you as a guest at our church. Sunday services are at 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Again, that's 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Bible study hour begins at 10 and Sunday morning fellowship services begins at 11. For more information, or if you need help with prayer or encouragement, you may call us at 212-947-5316. That's 212-947-5316. You can also write to us at Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 7925, New York, New York, 10116. You may also visit us on the web at www.hbcnyc.org. That's www.hbcnyc.org. Join us again next week at 8:30 p.m. for the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church. Until then, rejoice in the Lord.